turn to 422. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
Scripture in what they say. And that's such a blessing.
Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a great beginning to our service tonight. We thank you for these old songs that saints of yesteryear wrote, and the words and the music both that honored and glorified you, and we're glad that we can still sing them today. We pray that you would be with us each tonight, and we pray that you would give Brother Prue safety as he travels in. He will be here, and we pray that you would just guide and direct him as he continues his study in Ruth. We're very glad to hear what you have given to him to share with us, and we enjoy the character of Ruth and how she parallels each one of us. We were not supposed to be brought in either, but you grafted us in because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Now give us a good evening. We pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that's said and done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Not much going on as far as announcements. Brother Hitchens will be back with us on Sunday. Boy, was Brother Renzi a blessing, wasn't he, on Sunday? It was like old times. So we're thankful that things are going well with him. We're glad he was able to be with us. And, hopefully, sometime soon, we'll get to see him again. We'll see. See what the Lord does with all that. Most of you already heard this announcement Sunday, but there is a Bible back there on the window ledge near the book carousels. For those of us who can't see the wording as easily as others, I have one that's called Super Giant Print that's back there. And so if you would like to have that, it's $25. You just go ahead and put that money in the box there next to it as a donation to the church. And when that one disappears, I'll make sure another one's there so someone else can have one. So, all right. So other than that, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We'll be starting a new memory verse starting on Sunday. For those who did not hear, it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. So you can start looking at that if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. All right. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, pretty good. After our second song here, we'll take some prayer requests. And for those of you who gave requests last time, if you can remember what they were and you're here again tonight, could you repeat them for me? Because I never got them. Obviously, last week there were a little problem and we didn't get here until late. Found out later that due to that heavy wind, there were power lines down on 309, and so we couldn't get through because of the power lines being down. So that's why we had to go over creation to get over here. But okay, we'll stay right in the same area. 423, the solid rock. 423.
Oh, good evening. I could say I've married a wife and therefore I was late, but that wouldn't be true because it wasn't her fault. She was ready and I wasn't. This is my wife Karen, and so she hasn't been here yet. So I just wanted to introduce her. We have been married now for this year will be 48 years. So, all right. You know, you mentioned the passing of your mother-in-law at 58. We had an issue in our church a week ago. I think it was yesterday or a week ago today. We had a fellow as a member of our church, 92 years old, and his daughter is deaf. And he was standing in the garage, lives in Lansdale, motioned for her to pull the car into the garage so he could put air in her tire. And she hit the gas instead of the brake. Hit him, broke his leg. Hit him so hard that the headlight broke, cut his leg. He lost blood, caused him to have a stroke, and he passed away at 3 o'clock this morning. And so you can imagine what... He was married 70 years last September, and his wife and daughter lived, of course, in the house. And now his daughter has to live with that. Just a tragedy, you know. And these things happen, you know, and we wonder, you know, why God allows them. And we'll never know many times why he does allow the things that he allows. But we just need to trust him that he will give grace. And it was Herb. Herb Lukens was the fellow's name. You might remember him. They were members of Bethel many years ago. Herb Lukens. Yeah, Herb and Dottie Lukens. And the daughter was Jane. She was part of the deaf ministry there. And I believe still is, even to this day. Because you have to, when you're in part of a deaf ministry, you have to go where they have a deaf ministry, and they happen to have one there, and so that's where she attends church. But she's going to need prayer. I mean, she's probably a lady. I would think she'd be in her 60s, maybe somewhere in that range, something like that. Yep. So anyway, all right. Well, let's open up to Ruth if we could. We're going to pick this up here. Now, I felt bad I wasn't able to finish last week, but then I got thinking there was a light being put in here, and we didn't get started until about 10 minutes late. So it wasn't all my fault. I realized that after I got going. I wondered, why did I come so short here? But that was part of the reason. But anyway, I think we'll finish this one probably tonight. It's now 7:30, and so I think we'll just finish this one. I have the notes ready for the next one, which I thought maybe we'd get to, but I don't think we will, so we'll pick it up there next week. But we'll finish this this one here, which we started last week in Ruth 2, and the key phrase here is this phrase in verse 3 that we've talked about several times. Her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And of course, we talked last week about this idea of good luck or God's leading. You know, the world looks at these kind of things and says, oh, well, that was sure a stroke of luck for you that happened, wasn't it? And we would say, well, no, not really. That was God directing my steps. And that's what Ruth could say. Now, as far as people looking at it from their point of view, it was just a stroke of luck or, you know, by chance that she ended up there. But when you are trying to live for Christ, you're trying to be obedient, he directs your steps. And so we see that here. And when we talked last week, we had a couple points that we did cover. And first of all, that he leads to the proper place. And when she decided to help out her mother-in-law, and she said, listen, I need to go out and find a field and find a place where I can glean and get some sustenance for us because we don't have any money and we don't have any food. And so therefore, I need to go and help here, do what I can. And so she needed to be led to a place where she could meet that need. And God led her to the field of Boaz. And we'll, we will talk about the kinsman redeemer situation later. But then secondly, we saw in verse 4 that not only does he lead to the proper place, and part of that leading was actually leading them back to the place of blessing, which was Bethlehem, Judah. So in general, they had to be led back there to get started. But then from there, specifically to the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And then secondly, leads also to the proper person. I remember we said this is a heathen girl, a heathen background, coming to a place where she doesn't know a soul. And she needed somebody who could give her security, somebody who could provide security for her. And not just anybody can do that. And we'll find out later on that, later in, I think it's in chapter 3, that there was a redeemer who could not redeem. He was a closer kinsman than Boaz was, but he didn't have the ability to do the job. He was a redeemer that couldn't redeem. So he couldn't provide the security that she needed. And then secondly, she needed a kinsman redeemer. And so and Boaz would ultimately become that. And we talked about the contrast that Boaz was to Malan. You know, Malan died at probably between 20 and 25. And he was gone. And now this Boaz, who we picture as a more of a middle-aged kind of a man, maybe in his 40s or something. That's the way I picture him anyway. And so this is the man now that she has come to glean in his field. Now, let's turn back, if we could, to Leviticus 23:22. I'm almost dyslexic. I said that backwards. But Leviticus 23:22. Talk about this this custom that they had back in those days called gleaning. And let's read verse 22 here in Leviticus 23. And it says, and they had some funny rules and regulations back in those days, and this happened to be one of them. When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, if we would go to, we won't take the time here because of the time that we have here, but Deuteronomy 24:19 also explains that idea of the gleaning and the custom, and it wasn't an actual law, but it was a strong suggestion that they would do this. Now, there were some landowners that did not follow that rule. They wanted it all for themselves, and they instructed their workers, get all you can, and don't leave anything behind. You know, we're not interested. We're not a welfare program here. I want that stuff for me. And if you want to get paid, you clean up the field. And that was the situation. But Boaz was certainly not like that. And she needed a kinsman redeemer. She also needed a man who had respect to the word of God. And that was Boaz here. He respected this rule or custom that was laid down in both in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. And he said, listen, we're going to follow that. You leave the stuff there. And, you know, if we can be a help to these people, we're going to do it. And so the workers didn't have to ask him. They knew. They were instructed to follow the rules and the suggestions that were laid up back in the law. So that was letter C there. She needed a man who would have respect for the word of God. Now, fourthly, she needed a man characterized by kindness. Now, let's read verse 4 here again. We read it last week, but it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. And then following there, in the 14th day of the first month, even the Lord's Passover, on the 15th day of the... wait a minute. I thought, this is not making sense. I've got to keep reading. I'm over in Leviticus. I forgot to go back to Ruth. You know, when you come in late and you're rushing. I did a job down in Philadelphia today, and yeah, I got out a little bit later than I wanted. And whenever you get out of Philly a little bit later and the traffic is bad on Route 309, you know, you're just I wanted to lay on the horn a few times, but my son's sitting right next to me. I said, I better not do that. It's not a good testimony. So I held off, and I just bit my tongue all the way up 309. And that's why I was late tonight, and I feel bad about it. But anyway, let's go to Ruth chapter 2, and we'll come to verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with thee, be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then further on down, let's see here. Let's go to, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence. But abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So he's not just satisfied to provide a place for her to glean. He's going the extra mile. He's telling her, you know, don't even think of going anywhere else, because not only can you glean here, and I, you know, we find out later here too that he instructed them to just leave a few extra ones, so she doesn't have any trouble finding them. So he was extra kind, and plus he said, you know, by the way, if you get thirsty, come on, you go into the tent and get a drink, because my men will have it there for you, and they'll protect you. You know, you don't need to worry about getting out. You know, some of these other parts of the field maybe might be a little dangerous. You shouldn't be over there. Stay with my people, and you'll be safe. And so that's what he did. So he was not only following God's word, but he was characterized by some kindness here, just the kind of kindness that this poor girl needed, coming from some place where she didn't know anybody. And so, you know, God led these two people together, and it's a wonderful thing. Because as we said last week, here comes Ruth from her heathen background and meeting Boaz, who was the son of Rahab, the harlot. And he puts these two people together and puts them in the line of Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing when you think about it, how God orchestrates things and works in people's lives. And, you know, He'll do the same thing for us if we're obedient. He'll meet our needs when we have needs. And he'll direct us to the right people and to the right place. And, you know, this verse 4 here, and I shouldn't take too long here, but I just have to say this. I think I mentioned it last week. But Boaz says when he gets there, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, and the Lord bless thee. And, you know, I think I told you last week how that when we moved to Pennsylvania after college back in the early 70s, God directed my wife and I to look for jobs. We didn't have any children yet at this point. And my wife went in for her interview. And the first question she was asked was, are you a born-again Christian? And, you know, kind of the same idea here, Boaz coming to greet his workers with the Lord bless thee. You don't get that in the union shop too often, you know, or wherever else you may be working. You don't get that. But this was a kind of a signal to us that, you know, and she had another job offer from a place that probably paid a little more money. But we thought, you know, yeah, I think we better take that one. And so we did. And, of course, there were other things that happened. This fellow was a strong Christian, and he directed our steps, and he helped us grow when we were young and floundering, and, you know, got us into a stronger church. And, you know, it was just a cycle of things that happened because of decisions that we made, because we were serious about serving Christ. We wanted to do right. even though we weren't doing right, because we didn't know any better at that point because of where we were in our lives. But that's the way God directs. Now, let's move on. We want to finish up here. Number three, he supplies the needed provision. And let's move over to verse 22 here. Verse 22 of chapter 2. Let's see here. That's not right. How about 19? Why did I write down verse 22? Well, anyway. Verse 19. Ruth spends her day gleaning. She comes home, and her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And I missed another verse that I meant to read. Back in verse 17, she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, apparently an ephah of barley was a tremendous amount to bring home for one day, because Naomi was surprised. Where in the world did you get all this for just one day of gleaning? Where? Well, because God supplies the needed provisions when we're serious about serving him, and we're obedient, and we do our best to follow him. And he sometimes doesn't do it till just the last minute. You know, there's not always a huge excess, but he'll always meet your needs, I believe, one way or another, if you're serious about serving him. Now, what if they had returned to Bethlehem, Judah, 6 months earlier? There wouldn't have been any barley harvest. There wouldn't have been any gleaning for her to do, because the famine was still in full effect 6 months earlier. So God supplied her need at the right time, led them at the right time to make this decision to come back. And isn't that the way God works? He directs us just at the right time for things, to make them fall into place. I think we'd all like to say, we'd all like to have a big surplus in the bank account all the time and never have any problems, never have any unexpected bills that come up. And I've got an issue coming with my truck right now, and I know I'm going to need a transmission. It's acting up. I had a transmission put in this truck about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. It's doing the same thing again. So that's coming, you know. But God will meet the need. You know, he'll take care of that. But he'll do it. You know, he'll meet needs at just the right time if we follow him one step at a time. Take one step at a time, believing that he'll guide us and he'll provide for us. Now, he supplies, I also believe, not only at the right time, but he supplies in response to dedicated effort. She just got home from a day of gleaning. I think if she'd have sat in the tent with Naomi, I don't know that God would have supplied their need that day. I kind of doubt that he would have. But because she showed the initiative to get out there and say, "Listen, I need to help my mother-in-law. She's getting a little older now. She can't do what she used to be able to do. I'm young. I'm energetic. I'm healthy. I'll get out there and I'll see what I can do here and see what God will do for our efforts." And so through her dedicated effort, God supplied the need. Now, could he have done it otherwise? Yes. Well, there you go. That's a good start. That's a good start for her first day of gleaning. Amen. All right. I don't have a whole lot of respect for lazy people. I mean, I just don't. I think if you're going to be successful, you've got to do your part. You've got to work at it. Now, there's a difference between not wanting to work and not being able to work. I'm not saying somebody that has a disability or a physical ailment that they can't work. And the older I get, the closer I can understand that. I was walking into the supply house today to get something, and I was limping along. I said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Well, I'm old. That's what's the matter with me. My body's wearing out." And so I've been buying from them for years. But they noticed that I was walking a little slower and limping a little bit. And but that's just the way it is. You know, if somebody can't work, that's different than if they don't want to work. And that's a big difference. But she was not lazy. She took advantage of the opportunity that God provided in this culture to glean. And as our brother just told us, Sam back there, 10 times what they needed for a day. And as far as I know, there was no rule that she couldn't go out and glean again the next day. Now, you can see what could happen here. Along the same line, the last point here, he also supplies in abundance. He didn't supply just enough for them to eat till tomorrow. 10 days worth, according to the what the ephah is here, 10 days worth, and so it's exciting. It's exciting to see. Now, will he always do that every time? Probably not, but I think God is faithful enough that we can entrust our future to Him if we're obedient. We can entrust our future to Him and trust Him to meet our needs day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. We could say to Ruth, we could ask her after her first day of gleaning, "What do you think? Was it a good idea for you to trust your future to God and to follow Naomi back? Do you think you made the right decision?" She'd be just beaming. She'd just say, "Well, that's just wonderful, you know." I'm out of time. Yeah, we better quit. All right. Well, now next week we're going to skip over the next lesson. Actually, in the series here was what attracted Boaz to Ruth. Well, now we're going to do the other side of it. What attracted Ruth to Boaz? And so that'll be next week. I have the notes here, and we'll bring them back next week and hand them out. But let's close in prayer here, and then before we go to our regular prayer time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clearness of the Bible and how that we can take these Old Testament stories, things that happened so many years ago, and they can be encouraging to us. They can be things that would be examples for both good and for bad. But we can learn from them, and we pray that you'd help us to be the kind of Christians that you want us to be here in this time and place that you've put us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.